Precipice of the Leil HaSeder. And there's so much to think about and there's so much to discuss, and as we just heard, there's so many Perushim and so many Haggadahs. It's probably the most popular book that's sold all year long is all the new Haggadahs that come out, and there's so much to think about. But what I'd like to do this evening, I know we all have the ability to look in our own Haggadahs and find the things which might speak to us and be our style. What I'd like to do this evening is to discuss an important theme that runs, I believe, throughout the Leil HaSeder, and it's something that's worthy of giving our attention to. So what we're going to begin with is actually the concluding paragraph in Maggid. The concluding paragraph in Maggid is Lefikach Anachnu Chayavim, the Birchas Asher Ge'alanu. And that is really taken from a Gemara in Psachim Daf Kuf Tazayin. That whole text is really taken, lifted immediately from the Mishnah in the end of Maseches Psachim, and there the Mishnah discusses how exactly the bracha evolved and whether everybody agreed that this is the bracha that's supposed to be recited. So the Mishnah begins as follows, and it's not just a technical detail that we're discussing, it's something that's of extreme importance. Says the Mishnah, what you're supposed to say at the end of Maggid is, Lefikach anachnu chayavim, because of everything we have said this evening, and because we've experienced Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim once again, and because we feel so grateful for everything we have, therefore, lahodas lahalal l'shabeach l'for l'ramim l'hadar l'varach l'ali l'kalis, all those l'shonos, Rabbi Glatz said either it's 9 or it's 10 or it's 11 or it's 12, many different girsos, but we say all of that, l'misha asar l'avoseinu v'lanu es kalanisim ha'ela, we thank the Ribbono shel Olam who provided us with all these incredible miracles throughout the generations, hotziyanu me'avdus l'cheiros, he is the one who took us out, he is responsible for saving the Jewish people and taking them out from bondage and bringing them to freedom, miyagon l'simcha, from days of anguish to days of delight, me'eve liyamta, from days of mourning to now be in days of celebration, u'me'afela liyargado, from deep darkness into tremendous light, u'mishibu l'geula v'nomar l'fanav halleluka. Says the Mishnah, that's the way you end it. That's the way you end it. Baruch atah Hashem ga'al Yisrael. Now that's not the way we have it in our Haggadah Shel Pesach. We have a whole other sentence that comes as an addition to that paragraph as well. We don't just stop there and say, oh, thank you very much, we just enjoyed the Seder, and now, v'nomar l'fan of Shira Chadasha, Halleluka, Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael. We add on something very important. Says Rabbi Kiva, you can't stop there. Rabbi Kiva argues that there must be an additional sentence that's added on at the end of this paragraph, and that is, Kein Hashem Elokeinu Yagiyenu, L'moadim V'lirgalim Acherim. We ask that the Ribbono Shel Olam also grant us the opportunity l'mo'adim v'lirgalim acherim, to celebrate on many other opportunities throughout the year, ha'boyim l'krosenu l'shalom, smeichem evina nirecha. We ask that the Ribbono Shel Olam give us the opportunity to be rejoicing with the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, v'sasim ba'avodasecha, and that we once again have the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, v'nochal sham min hazvachim and min hapsachim. We will once again eat from the Karban Pesach and all the Karbanot, and you keep going, Baruch Atah Hashem Ga'al Yisrael. So, it sounds like a very simple, a rather inconsequential disagreement here in the Mishnah. So, you do say the added line, you don't say the extra line, Reb Tarfon and Reb Akiva are arguing, how do you end off the bracha? But, in fact, there is a tremendous significance that should be given to this very discussion in the Mishnah, and it's an important theme in general to think about on the night of the Seder. In order to fully appreciate why it's important, let's give some context. Perhaps let's give a little bit of background, collecting from various sources, various Mamari Chazal, in which they will help us be granted a little bit of a context to why it is that this line is very important of Rabbi Kiva. So we begin with the Sifri in Devarim. The Sifri writes, there were four great Torah personalities, all lived in different generations, but all four of them lived the incredible lifespan of 120 years. Most notably was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu lived 120 years. That's what the Torah tells us. But after that, there were three personalities that the Medrash says also lived to the ripe old age of 120, which we consider to be a life of shlemus, a life of achievement, a life of accomplishment, a life of success, and of fulfillment. So the Sifri says, first of all, it was Moshe Rabbeinu. The next one was Hillel HaZaken, who was known to be an incredible leader in his generation. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was also one of the Gedolei Hador, was the leader of his time. And finally, Rabbi Kiva, says the Sifri. These four personalities lived a life of shlemus. They lived a life of fulfillment, a life of achievement, a life of incredible accomplishment, and all that they gave to the Jewish people is something that carries us to this very day. So Rabbi Akiva was one of the greats. Rabbi Akiva was a gadol shebegdolim and anak shebeanakim. He was such an incredible personality. And it's well known that Rabbi Akiva lived at a period in history when the Churban Beis HaMikdash took place. He lived through a time of total devastation, of unbelievable destruction. And one could imagine, when you think about all of the picture of what it was like to have a Beis HaMikdash, and then you're the leader of the people at a time when they even remember that experience of having a Beis HaMikdash. Can you imagine how much work you have to do? Can you imagine the feelings of desperation, of despair? Can you imagine how despondent, how dejected the people feel that now we don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore? How can life go on like this? And this was the task of Rabbi Akiva. How am I going to carry the Jewish people through a time, through a generation like this? And his job was to continue to encourage, to reassure, and to elevate the people and say, don't worry, life will continue to move on. We will have a Jewish people even though there is no longer a Beis HaMikdash, even though the centerpiece, even though our focus is no longer going to be on that Beis HaMikdash as it should be. Rabbi Akiva was the person who always provided that sense of spirit. And Rabbi Akiva was the one who was the leader, who was the ultimate optimist, as one can ever imagine. He was the positive thinker. He was always the one who was the idealist and who reassured the people that we can have a vision to go forward, and this is something that will be successful. The Gemara tells us in the very last daf in Maseches Makos, two stories, one after the other, very well-known stories that the Gemara says, about Rabbi Akiva's perspective, which was clearly not like many others in his time. So the Gemara first says a story about a group of friends, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yehoshua, and Rabbi Akiva. Says the Gemara, they're all traveling together somewhere. Vishamu kol hamona shel romi, and they hear in the distance. What does it mean in the distance? The Gemara says it was a distance of mea ve'esra mil. That's like a few hundred miles away. So I don't know exactly what it means. Maybe it's an exaggeration, I don't know. But it was a very far distance away. They hear a big commotion coming from Rome. And they all begin to cry. And they say, how could it be that the Romans, who have just caused us so much devastation, so much destruction, how could it be that these Romans are partying, that these Romans are enjoying life, that these Romans are getting away with it? How is it possible that such a thing can be happening? And how is it possible that the Jewish people are suffering so much at a time when their enemies, when their adversaries are enjoying life as if nothing ever happened? And they all begin to cry, and Rabbi Akiva says the Gemara was mitzachik. Rabbi Akiva saw nothing troubling about that. And Rabbi Akiva turned around and said, the perspective should be different. Rabbi Akiva says to his friends, I don't understand. Ma lo'ovir ritzono kach? If this is the way God treats those who defy everything that he wants them to do in this world, la'osei ritzono alachas kama v'kama, can you even begin to imagine what life will be like for those of us who do follow the will of God? Who do everything that we are instructed to do? That was Rabbi Akiva's ability to be positive at a time like that. When you're watching, when you're experiencing the Churban in front of your own eyes, when you're watching that your enemies seem to be successful, and you're lagging behind, and you're the leader of the people, and you don't know what to tell them, Rabbi Akiva seems to be able to conjure up a positive image, and he says, don't worry, everything will be okay. And then the Gemara follows with another story, that the five of these friends were also Olam liYerushalayim. One time, shortly thereafter, they were traveling to Yerushalayim. Higiyu laHarat Sofim. It says they get to Harat Sofim, to Mount Scopus, and they look at the Churban, at the Makom Beis HaMikdash, and they see, can you imagine? We used to look from here and be able to see the incredible edifice, this incredible Beis HaMikdash. And now look what we're left with, just a place of ruin, a place of destruction, of desolation. There's nothing there at all. And they all begin to cry. And they see, as a shul is running out from the Beis Kodshei HaKadoshim, how much worse can it get than that? Animals roaming around in the Churban Beis HaMikdash, how could it be? And they all begin to cry, and Rabbi Akiva once again is mitzachik. And they turn to him and they say, why are you not crying? And he turns to them and he says, how could you cry? Don't you know the Navi tells us, Od Yeshu Zakenim Zakenos Berachovas Yerushalayim, there will come a time when we will come back. And we will have an incredible resurgence in Yerushalayim, and we will be able to once again inhabit the Beis HaMikdash and be there as we're supposed to, V'shavu banam L'gvulam, nothing to be concerned about. So the Maharsha Nakamara points out and he says, I don't understand. Rabbi Akiva didn't know the halacha that you have to rip kriya when you see the makam of Churban Beis Hamikdash? You can say all the nice, fancy, philosophical ideas. Oh, one day we're going to... What about the fact that right now you have to rip kriya? Ask the Marsha. What about the fact that there's a way that a person is meant to act when they see, when they experience the Churban Beis Hamikdash? Says the Marsha, yes. Rabbi Akiva ripped kriya as he was instructed to. But at the same time as he ripped kriya, he knew how to be positive as well. He didn't ignore the Churban. He understood quite well what it means to have a Churban. But along with that, Rabbi Akiva taught us as well how a person is able to be optimistic. And just think for a moment about the experiences that happened throughout the lifetime of Rabbi Akiva. Leaving aside the story of the Churban and how he was tasked with carrying the people through this terribly tragic time, we all know that in Sfiras HaOmer, the Gemara tells us in Yevamos Daf Samach Beis, Shneim Asar Elef Zugim Talmidim Hayelo Rabbi Akiva. Do you know what that means? Have you ever even seen that many people studying anything? He had 24,000 students. It's hard to imagine what it means. It's hard to even understand what that means. And the Gemara says, "V'kula mesu b'perek echad." Rabbi Akiva's whole life's work, the incredible citadel of Torah that he built up, 24,000 talmidim, to the point that the Gemara says, "V'haya olam shamim." The world was empty. The world was desolate. The world was dark when they were lost, because they were the ones who were keeping the world going. So you would think Rabbi Akiva experiences something like that. Everything he's worked so hard for in his life, all of his efforts, all of his energies throughout all the years, investing in his Talmidim, building this yeshiva, and they all perish, they all die. What would you think he would do? If he were like any of us, he would just say, "I'm finished. I'm crushed. Look what happened to me." But the Gemara that many people might not be aware of is at Shabbat Rabbi Akiva. The very next day he gets up and he begins to travel around the country to find himself new students. And he finally comes to Rabbi Seinu Shabbadarim. He shows up in the south and he finds Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Lazar. Veheim heim temidu Torah osasha. And they are the ones who are responsible for Torah Shebaal Peh moving on. Without them, without Rabbi Akiva giving the strength to continue on, and we're going to have five Talmidim where I'm going to start the whole process over with again. Yes, I lost everything I have, and I may have gone through a terrible devastation, and it's a difficult feeling. But my name is Rabbi Akiva, and I know how we react when we go through moments like this in life. I'm the one who knows how to be forceful. I'm the one who knows how to give the Jewish people the courage to rebuild, the courage to move on, and to be determined, and to stay strong, and to promise themselves that Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, that the Jewish people, as difficult of a time as they might be experiencing, will never give up. The Jewish people will always start again, even if it's with five Talmidim. There's a passage that the Gemara has from one of the contemporaries of Rabbi Akiva, and that was the passage of Rabbi Tarfon. It's a passage that many just skip right over. It doesn't really mean so much. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, Daf Samach Vav, that Rabbi Tarfon calls out to his dear friend Rabbi Akiva one day, and he says, "Akiva, kol haporish mimcha ki'ilu porish min achayim." Someone who doesn't have you in their life, it's as if they just don't have life at all. So, on the simple, basic level, most of the Mefarshim explain what it means is, well, if you live in a generation where you don't have a Rebbe, where you don't attach yourself to somebody who can teach you Torah, it's as if you don't have life at all. But maybe it goes so much beyond that. Reb Tarfon was saying, what would our generation be without you? We would have all killed ourselves. We would have had nothing left if we didn't have Rabbi Akiva, who is there to lift our spirits and to teach us how do we react when we live through generations like this of such terrible devastation. Kol haporish mimcha, Akiva. If you don't have the experience, the opportunity to avail yourself the incredible gift of Rabbi Akiva in a moment like that in history, you just don't have a chance in living through a generation like that. And Rabbi Akiva's attitude of rebuilding, of this incredible resilience, really came from the Ribono Shel Olam himself. The Medrash tells us in Bereishis Rabbah, The Medrash says, Amar Rabbi Abo, Melamed Shehayabor Olamo Samachrivan. Rav Soloveitchik spoke so much about this Medrash. Hayabor Olamo Samachrivan. What does that mean? On a simple level, it means God was creating worlds and destroying them, creating and destroying. Until, says the Medrash, Hachabaras Elu, until he comes and he creates the world as we know it, and he says, Dein Hanayin Li, oh, this looks nice. I like the way it came out. We're going to keep this one. We're not going to destroy it. And Rav Soloveitchik said, how is this to be understood? The Ribbono Shel Olam, we say every day, is a Omer Ve'oseh. All he has to do is say what he wants and it happens. What, he had to try it a few times to see if everything was going to work out right? He wasn't sure if the trees were going to come out the way he wanted them to and if the human being was going to look the way he wanted it? What does it mean he was Borei Olamo Samachrivan? And Rav Soloveitchik said that the Ribbono Shel Olam himself did this to teach us that we all have unfortunate moments in our own lives, and we all have mistakes that we make, and we all have the wrong choices, that at some point in life are going to be very consequential mistakes and very, very negative choices. But yet the Ribbono Shel Olam taught us that I myself was Borei Olamo Samachrivan. I myself had the ability to build things and destroy them because I made a mistake, so to speak. Kava Yachal, if you can say such a thing. But I moved on and I tried to build again. Until, so to speak, I got it right. And that was the message the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to teach us on the occasion of the Bria Shamayim Va'aretz. That there are going to be moments in our lives when we try to build and when we try to accomplish and it's just not going to work. And you could build up an incredible life like Rabbi Kiva built. To the point that you have 24,000 Talmidim. And after they die, Bahaya Ha'olam Shamim, your whole world comes crumbling down in front of your face. But you can start again. Like the Ribbono Shel Olam himself did. You can be Borei Olamo Samachrivan. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. After Rabbi Kiva passes away, the Medrash writes that once again, the Jewish people experienced a time, an experience of persecution, of terrible oppression, of massacres again. And it was a major crisis. What do we do now? What do we do now that we don't have Rabbi Kiva? What do we do now when we're suffering that which we're going through and we don't have the person who's able to lift our spirits and help us move on? What is the answer? You look carefully at the Medrash says, Nichnasu Chachme Hador Le'usha. The great leaders of that generation come to Usha. What was in Usha? What's so special? What's so unique about Usha? Why did everyone convene there to discuss the problems and how they're going to move on? Well, it tells the Medrash as follows, because that was where Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Lai lived. And who was the teacher of Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Lai? Rabbi Kiva. He taught his Talmidim how to lift the Jewish people up at a moment of incredible crisis. And says the Medrash, Shalchu Eitzel Ziknei HaGalil Ve'amru. Rabbi Yehuda sends out messages and he says, why don't we start again? Kol Mishu Lamed Yavo V'Yilmad. Anyone who knows how to learn, come, we're going to start learning again. V'kol Mishu Einu Yodea Lamed Yavo V'Yilmad. Anyone who doesn't learn, anyone who didn't know how to learn up until this point, you can also come, because we're going to rebuild. That's what the Jewish story is all about throughout history. How can you ignore the incredible renaissance that our generation has experienced? A resurgence of Torah that the world has never seen before. After a devastation that the world has never seen before or experienced. How can you deny how resilient the Jewish people have been in doing their part to show the Ribbono Shel Olam that we never give up? That we will continue to believe in you. That we will continue to build and we will have strength to do that until our very last days on this earth. If one looks at the very beginning of the story of Magid, if one looks at the very beginning of the Haggadah, so we're told there, Maisa, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Lazar, Bazaria, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfon. So you have five great Tanaim, all sitting together enjoying a Seder, Shai Mesubim, B'Menei Brak, they're all having a Seder, we're in B'Menei Brak, and they're all convened together and they're talking to one another, telling Yitzias Mitzrayim all kinds of stories and Vertlach and Perushim and whatever they're doing. And the Gemara says they got carried away and it took so long, it was already the morning, okay. So the Sfas Emes asks, in his commentary on the Gemara, You know, sometimes you have to think about the Svasemas. He was like a split personality. He was the Chassidus Geru Rebbe, but he was also the Svasemas. He wrote a commentary on the Gemara. So he asked a very simple, not Chassidus Akasha. He says, I don't understand. What were they doing in Bnei Brak? How did they end up in Bnei Brak? Why was the Seder convened of all the Gedolei HaTanaim in Bnei Brak? And after all, he says, I'm not just asking why they in Bnei Brak. I have a better question, he says. The Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah Daf Lamed Zayin that Rabbi Lazar is the one who said, Mishabeach Anias Atzlanim. One is not allowed to leave home for Yom Tov. You have to stay home. Samachta v'chagecha. You have to stay with your family and enjoy the Yom Tov together. So why is he himself, who used to look negatively upon those who went away for Yom Tov to other people to spend it without their families, what is he doing out of his community? He lived, the Gemara says, in Lud. Why is he in Bnei Brak? Why is he not with his family? How did he end up there? After all, you're the one who said you're not allowed to leave your community for Yom Tov. What are you doing in Bnei Brak? So, there are a number of suggestions that are given, and the Margolius Hayam writes, well, maybe it was a year when they had a great emergency mission out to Rome somewhere, and they had to take a boat back, and they ended up right before Pesach, they ended up on Erev Pesach, they showed up, and the closest city to the port was Bnei Brak. Okay, could be. It's a nice suggestion. Not saying it's wrong. I don't know if it's right either. He doesn't know if it's right either. He also says that this is just a suggestion to try to explain why it is that they were in Bnei Brak. But one of my great teachers, Rav Mordechai Kalbach, once told me, you know what the answer is? Maybe this was the year immediately following the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Can you imagine? You have millions of Jews throughout all the years that we had a Beis HaMikdash converging onto Yerushalayim en masse, to the point that the Gemara says, Halela Paka Igra, the night of the Seder, it felt like the roofs were going to blow off because of the hallel, because of the excitement, because of everything that was happening in the town of Yerushalayim. That's Zman Cheruseinu. You go and celebrate with millions of Jews and everyone's there together and the roofs are blowing off because of the beautiful Shira of Hallel and everything you're doing. Can you imagine? Comes Tisha B'Av. You lose the Beis HaMikdash. And less than a year later, you're asked once again to celebrate Zman Cheruseinu on Pesach. How are we going to do this? How are we supposed to celebrate Zman Cheruseinu on Pesach? How can we celebrate a celebration of freedom when all of our freedom has been taken away from us? When we lost the Beis HaMikdash? When the centerpiece of the Seder is no longer the object that we look forward to? Because we don't have a Korban Pesach. You know what the answer is? We're going to have to spend this Pesach by Rabbi Kiva, who lives in Bnei Brak. Because he's the only one that will be able to teach us how to celebrate at a time of such devastation. He's the only one who will teach us, and yes, we normally don't go away from our families, and we normally spend Yom Tov together, but what choice do we have? How is anyone going to feel Zman Cheruseinu when we remember what it was like having a Pesach all together in Yerushalayim with a Beis HaMikdash and a Korban Pesach? Well, this year we have no choice but to travel to Bnei Brak and enjoy the Seder with Rabbi Kiva himself. Because that's what was the greatness of Rabbi Kiva. He taught generations how to deal with suffering, how to deal with tragedy, and what the Jewish perspective is supposed to be when we live through those kinds of moments in history. And perhaps that's why this original discussion that we started with, what is the text of the last paragraph of Maggid? Well, the Mishnah seems to say it's a very benign machlokas. Do we just say, Lefikach anachnu chayavim, lahodos, lahalel, l'shabeach, thank the Ribbono Shel Olam, Baruch Ata Hashem, Ga'al Yisrael, thank you very much. We celebrated the Seder, we spoke about Yetzias Mitzrayim, have a good night. Says Rabbi Kiva, absolutely not. You must add in, when you're talking about all the destruction, and when you're talking about recounting all the terrible tragedies that have befallen the Jewish people throughout all the millennia, throughout all the generations, and that's what we do on the night of the Seder, you must add into that conversation, Kein Hashem Elokeinu Yagienu, Lemoadim V'Lergalim Achirim. May you bring us to that time, Smeichem Evinyan Irecha. That's what you're supposed to feel when you go through a tragedy, that there will be a time when we will celebrate in the Beis HaMikdash once again. And there will be a time, just like I, Rabbi Akiva, was able to teach my generation at a time of Churban, that yes, we can have Zman Chayruseinu even in a moment of history like this one. Well, so too, you must feel that in the night of the Seder, even if you're going through personal tragedies and life has been difficult for you. But don't ever forget that we look forward to the positive moment. We always have that vision of positivity, and we figure out, how are we going to gather the strength to figure out how to move forward, how to keep on building? Bonei Olamos HaMachrivan is what the Jewish people are all about. My father once told me in the name of Rav Soloveitchik that the Gemara says in Yuma, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael lefnei mi atem mitarim umi mitar eschem. Who is it that purifies you? Avichem Shebashamayim. Said Rabbi Akiva, what provides purity for the Jewish people is our Father in Heaven. So Rav Soloveitchik once suggested, why is Rabbi Akiva saying this? What would you have thought provides purity for the Jewish people, if not for God Himself? So Rav Soloveitchik said, maybe the reason Rabbi Akiva said this is because, imagine, you were Mechal Shabbos 1 week, you walk into your house, which they didn't have then, and you turn on the lights, which they also didn't have then. So you're Mechal Shabbos, what do? Oh, if you're terrible, what am I going to do? I have to do tshuva. So Sunday morning, you run quickly to the Beis HaMikdash, you bring your karbon, you say your vidu, you do your tshuva, okay, you feel a sigh of relief. I can move on with life. I made a mistake, but God figured out a system of how I can reconnect with Him, even though I made the mistake, even though I did something that troubles Him. Imagine the first Shabbos after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The first Shabbos. So somebody walks into their home, flips on the lights and says, "As Mechal Shabbos, what am I going to do? Forget it, I'm finished. There's no way of getting out of my problem. It used to be that I can bring a karbon to absolve myself of my terrible mistake. But what do I do now? I'm finished. I have no relationship with God anymore. You know why? Because I blew it. And if I blew it, there's no way of making it up to God again." And Rabbi Akiva came and he said, "Absolutely not. Mi mitar eschem. It's not the Beis HaMikdash that gives us the Kedusha. It's not the Beis HaMikdash that gives us our connection with God. It's Avichem Shavashamayim. It's God Himself. And that's a connection you can have in any generation. Even in a time of terrible despair. Even at a time when you feel we are not connected at all with the Beis HaMikdash, with Yerushalayim, and we're so distant and we're so foreign from that reality." But that's where Rabbi Akiva teaches us, no, it's Avichem Shabashamayim, it's your Father in Heaven. He is the one that will grant you the purity. He is the one that you need to have a relationship with. On the night of the Seder, when we talk about, when we discuss all of our difficulties, and we remind ourselves of the difficult experiences that the Jewish people have had throughout all the generations. B'chol dor v'dor omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu. It's something that has been with us for all eternity. And for some people, it's a very personal kind of tragedy that they discuss. V'akadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu mi'adam. Some people discuss how they went through a difficult time, how they had terrible pain in life, and God saved them. And for other people, it's a little more impersonal. For other people, they just speak about the experiences of others. But for all of us, it's a time when we should think about the following. The Chasam Sofer points out in a tshuva. If you look in the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, Daf Lamed Tes, the Gemara there describes which items are able to be used to be mekayim, to fulfill the mitzvah of Marah. So one of the items listed is lettuce, chasa, however you say it. So the Chasam Sofer writes that the Gemara tells us, why is it called chasa? Why is that one of the items that could be used for Marah? Because chasa stands for chas rachmana alan. God had mercy on us. Even when you eat the marah, remind yourself, chas rachmana alan. In a certain sense, God did have mercy on us. It's not easy, certainly at the moment of tragedy, to see it or to feel it. But always remember, chas rachmana alan, and then the Chasam Sofer takes it further. What is the next item that the Gemara says can be used to fulfill the mitzvah of Marah? Tamcha. And that is spelled Taf Mem Chaf Aleph. Tamcha. Says the Chassam Sofer, you know what that stands for? Tamid Misaprim Kivod Kel. At the marrow moments of our lives, we also have the ability. Tamid Misaprim Kivod Kel, says the Chassam Sofer. I have the ability to recognize that the Ribbono Shel Olam can crush and crumble my whole world in front of me. And life is difficult. And yes, we have pain. And life is not so simple. But we had people like Rabbi Akiva who taught us that even at those horrific maror moments of life or of Jewish history, tamid misaprim kivod kel, we have the ability always to recognize how faithful, how loyal we are to the Ribbono Shel Olam and to make the best of the situation that we find ourselves in. So the story is told that one afternoon, in a small town in Russia, I guess that's where all good stories happen. So the Baal Shem Tov looks out his window. Also seems to be a very important part of many stories. Couldn't just be bumped into him. He had to be looking at the window. So the story goes that he looks out his window and he sees Reb Chaikel, the local water carrier, is pedaling through the streets and he's schlepping down the water and he has weighty buckets hanging over his shoulders. And he notices as he's walking through that the water is spilling out of his buckets. He hardly has anything left. As he's walking down the street, so the Baal Shem Tov reaches out to him and he calls out from the window and he says, you know, my beloved Reb Chaikel, the water carrier, it's so nice what you're doing and it's wonderful that you're carrying the water to all the people in the town, but just wondering, how's Parnassa going for you? So, the poor water carrier turns back to the Baal Shem Tov and he says to him, look, Parnassa is awful. It's not going well at all. He says, what do you mean? He says, look, I have so much frustration, I have so much bitterness in my life. After all, he writes, I'm so worn out, I'm an old man, I can hardly walk anymore. And every time I put these buckets on my shoulders, by the time I get to the home where I'm trying to get to, half of the water spilled out already. And after all, my wife is not well, and my children need me to keep on working because they don't have a job. So I keep getting out to work, but I don't even have enough money to do anything. So I don't know why it's even worth it for me to do this, what I'm doing. Life is terrible. And look at my legs, they're buckling, and my back is breaking, everything's awful. I feel so worthless, I feel insignificant, I don't understand, such an unproductive life. The next day, the Baal Shem Tov notices this water carrier again, and he sees the same story. He has the buckets over his shoulders, and everything's spilling out, and he's just looking at him, he can't believe it. And he goes out, he wants to be mechazik him again, after the story he heard yesterday, he says, Reb Chaikel knew the water carrier, how's Parnassa going today? And this time the reaction, the response was drastically different. Reb Chaikel turns back to the Baal Shem Tov and he says to him, how can a person like me even think about complaining? Look, I'm an old man. Most people my age can't even get up in the morning. They can't get out of bed. But I push myself. I get out of bed. I go and I schlep the buckets. And look, I'm strong enough. I can even carry it on my own. I don't even need a wagon to carry these buckets. And after all, I get out of the house and it's a little quiet when I'm not there. And I pedal through the streets and I'm a hunchback and I walk very slowly and half the buckets are empty, but look, the people hire me anyway. It's amazing. Can you be luckier than me? Can anyone be luckier than me who's given a chance and who tries to push through life and to do the best that I can? So the Baal Shem Tov was so surprised at the reaction. After all, the day before, the man was saying how insignificant he felt and how awful life was and he didn't understand. So what changed? What happened? Baal Shem Tov said the following. He said, I now understand the deeper understanding of the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says, as we know, that on Rosh Hashanah, we all go through a personal and a communal judgment. We're all going to pass, and we all have passed, through the Ribbono Shel Olam's eyes, like sheep is one of the perushim that the Gemara gives, and he judges all of us. And that's the day of year when everything is going to be determined for the coming year. Yet at the same time, the Gemara says as well, Adam Nidon B'chol Yom, that man is judged or somewhat reevaluated every day of the year. So which one is it? Do we assume that all the circumstances, all the moments of life were already determined and pronounced on Rosh Hashanah, this is what it's going to be? Or do we assume, no, that our judgment is somewhat of a lingering process and every day somehow we get reevaluated and God is going to figure out as the year evolves, what the year is actually going to look like. After this experience, after this encounter with the water carrier, the Baal Shem Tov said, I now understand it. On Rosh Hashanah, he says, the general category of life is determined. Are you going to be a doctor? Are you going to be a lawyer? Are you going to be rich? Are you going to be poor? Are you going to be wealthy? Are you going to be happy? Are you going to be sad? Are you going to have these kinds of children or those kinds of children? That's decided on Rosh Hashanah. However, he says, each and every day, we as individuals are granted an incredible gift and a renewed opportunity, said the Baal Shem Tov, to determine how it is that we will spend those moments of life that the Ribono Shel Olam has blessed us with. That a Adam Nidan Mechal Yom, we have the opportunity to make it a lingering process and to decide every day, am I going to feel satisfied? Am I going to feel content and fulfilled with the life that I'm living? With the moments on this earth that I've been blessed to have? Or am I going to feel irritated and acrimonious and I'm going to feel embittered about the fact that things are so terrible? That's the choice that we have every day and every moment of life. And that, said the Baal Shem Tov, was what I learned from that simple water carry in my community when two different days, when he was doing the same kind of job, had such a different expression, had such a different outlook on what it is that he was doing. This is why Rabbi Akiva is, in some way, an extremely important figure on the night of the Seder. This is why Rabbi Akiva is the one whose opinion is adopted about what the text of the bracha at the end of Maggid is going to be. Because that's what the Leil HaSeder is all about. Rabbi Akiva taught us how to have the proper attitude, how to have the proper mindset, how to be positive, how to always look for the future and always have a vision that even through Churban, even through those awful marah moments of life that so many of us suffer through, Rabbi Akiva mitzachek, Rabbi Akiva is always able to see that life will be positive again, and that life is worth living, and that we can rebuild, and we will rebuild, and we will come out stronger than ever before, as we have in every previous generation. And as the Chassam Sofer said, to always remind ourselves that even though one of the items we can use for marah is the tamcha, and we cry as we eat that, and it's a painful experience, but always remember that tamcha also stands for tamid misaprim kivod kel. We give the opportunity to ourselves and our families to always thank the Ribono Shel Olam and have such gratitude to him, even for those moments of life that are difficult and painful, because we know that he always gives us the opportunity to move on and to rebuild, and he gives us that strength, and he builds up our resilience, and he allows us to become stronger and better than we ever were before. I wish everyone a Chag Kasher v'Sameach.